That was beautiful.
We have this one on?
Okay. Thank you. And also the... Morning, church, again. Happy Sabbath. We meet again. You know, a while back ago, a lot of us went to the Grove Church. It's probably been a few years now, where they talked about distraction, social media, the impact on the brain. And since then, it's been important to me to look at these details, things that we usually don't pay attention to. That's why I wanted to talk about this today, about attraction to distraction. You know, sometimes we're just so distracted we don't pay attention. And a lot of you folks, especially the most experienced ones here, has probably heard about this story. There was a factory, and this story has been told in many different forms, but we'll keep it simple. There was a factory, and it had a lot of workers, and there was an issue with workers that were stealing and things of that nature. So this gentleman, every day, he'd come out with a wheelbarrow full of sawdust and scraps. And I see Bill laughing over there already. And he would just roll out every day, and the guard would stop him. Stop right there. What do you have in there? I know you're trying to take something out of here. I just have sawdust and scraps. Go ahead and dump that over and let's see. Looks through it. Guard is just, he doesn't understand why it's just full of sawdust and scraps. Says, all right, pick up the stuff and go. Next day, here we go again. Stops him again. Dump it. So this goes on for probably a week. Let's say gone. Then finally, the frustration of the guard, he stops him and says, look, I know you're stealing something. Tell me right now, or I'm going to turn you in and get you fired. And he says, all right, my friend. It's wheelbarrows. I'm stealing wheelbarrows. And then he left. He paid so much attention to what was inside and thinking he was stealing something inside that he forgot to think about the wheelbarrow, which was the most valuable thing he was taking every day. So sometimes we're not paying attention. We're so distracted that we don't pay attention on the most valuable thing. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today, everyone. So we're going to go ahead and open with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for gathering us here this morning, this beautiful Sabbath morning. Thank you for gathering us here together. Thank you for allowing me and blessing me to share this message that you have placed upon my heart. Let me share with everyone the words that you have given to me and forget everything that I have added on my own. In thy holy name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, we got this on. All right, attraction to distraction. SDA pastor, Pastor John Lumkang, I came across this sermon that he actually put together about distraction, and I liked his definition of distraction versus the ones that I had seen all over the internet and other biblical sources. He said a distraction occurs when our affection and our intellect are focused on objects and issues of lesser value than our lives. You know, in the past, especially those that are from the military, they know that many years ago, we had to worry a lot about weapons of mass destruction. That was a big concern a long time ago, and things have changed. It's still a concern, but it's not our main concern because most people don't want to blow up other countries because the economy is a big deal now and the globalized world has caused them to shift away from that. But today our biggest threat are weapons of mass destruction. That is the biggest threat that we face today. Thank you, Johnette, for reading that scripture reading. I thought this scripture reading really sums up what we're going to be talking about today. In 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, there's definitely a lot of forms of distraction, but I came across these three and I felt that these were important to talk about. Now, number one, distraction. One of the distractions is when you distract yourself from your identity. See, your identity will constantly be challenged. And we actually spoke about this a little bit in our Sabbath school this morning, which is interesting to see how it correlates with what we're going to be talking about today. Your identity will constantly be challenged because the enemy knows if he can convince you of something other than who you are in Christ, he will get you off course. Number two, it could speed you. There are distractions that can speed you up or slow you down. Timing in the kingdom of God is critical to most things. Often distractions come in the area, in this area, because we are impatient. The enemy, however, will also try to get us to act too soon or not soon enough out of fear or insecurity. Another, present to you with counterfeit. It'll be presented a distraction. So let's just say it could, things that can distract you from your principles, from your beliefs. Just an example, let's say you currently have a job and you do very well at what you do. But you work Monday through Friday, or you work Sunday through Friday, however it may be, and someone sees how talented you are and says, you know, I need someone like you. I'll pay you, they may pay you twice as much or three times as much, but you have to work every day. You have to be available to work on the Sabbath. But you know that you can't or won't or do not want to work on the Sabbath. You want to be here, or you want to keep the Sabbath holy, obviously. A lot of times this will happen to us. We will question our beliefs because we say, well, if God presented me with this opportunity, I should take it. I won't be able to work the Sabbath, but God will understand, right? And that's how sometimes we fall in the trap. You know, we're becoming conditioned to distraction, and it's harming our ability to listen and think carefully, to be still, to pray, and to meditate, which means it is a spiritual danger, an evil from which we need God's deliverance. As we see in Matthew 6, verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our attention often runs to what's important to us. So distraction can reveal what we love. We mentioned in the Sabbath school this morning, the Bible refers to this as idolatry. So one of the examples that I wanted to give about these four biblical examples of distraction. Number one, Samson. We all know the story of Samson, but just we can see it in Judges 13 through 16. His relationship distracted him from his purpose. Samson had a purpose, but he was basically, his identity was attacked. And that's why, what we mentioned earlier, we need to protect our identity, because other people will come and try to tempt us to get us away from our principles, from our beliefs. And your identity will always be a point of attack from the enemy. Samson wasn't any different. And I always love to mention how we always believe that we're so advanced today. How come all these stories in the Bible sound so familiar? How advanced are we really? We're committing the same mistakes that we've seen throughout the Bible. The key parts of his vow were constantly challenged by Delilah. She continued to distract Samson from his identity and convince him to give away his secret. David, we actually have spoken about David a lot in these recent sermons. We all know what happened to David. He fell for lust, like many people do today. He should have been at war. He should have been with his soldiers at war, him being the king. And as we see in 2 Samuel 11:1, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. His responsibility, like we mentioned, was to be there with them. And because he stayed, he was distracted, and we know what happened after that. He even ended up murdering. When we get distracted and make mistakes, we try to cover it up rather than going to God and asking for forgiveness and help. Eve, we all know that story. She was convinced by the enemy that what God told her wasn't really important, wasn't true. She was told not to eat that fruit. She still did. And unfortunately, this is an important thing to touch. That's why we need community. That's why we need each other. Like Pastor Lucas used to say a lot here, this is the only place where we're the majority. We need to help each other to stay on track, because it's very easy to get distracted, especially today. Martha. Jesus came over for dinner, and there was a number of people doing a number of different things. Martha got distracted by all of the business and wasn't paying attention to Jesus. She let the business distract her from Jesus, who was there in the room. Now, we may think, that's crazy. How could anybody get distracted from Jesus having him in the same room? But let's just look at a smaller example. How many times are we distracted from important things? We're right in the room and we're discussing an important topic, and we're just distracted. Many times we see a lot of people on their phones constantly here while they're giving a great sermon, and that message could have been for you. God could have had that message specifically for that person, but that person was unfortunately distracted and did not hear the message that was, even though they didn't know it, that message was for them. In Luke 10, 41 and 42, we see it when Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." See, Martha didn't recognize her distraction until Jesus helped her see her heart. She thought she was doing the right thing by serving everyone. But Jesus pointed out to Martha that her values were disordered. She had shifted her attention from the greater importance to something of lesser importance. So in our busyness, we must ask, what is the real distraction? What does our heart desire? Are we choosing the good portion, like Mary chose? Seeking the great thing. And we can see more of that in Psalm 27:4, or something else. See, we've becoming what I mentioned earlier about being conditioned to distraction is hurting us, and it's hurting our relationship with God. Now, this was something interesting I came across. We always talk about keeping the Sabbath holy, having that day to rest, and we understand that part. Many others, this has come up a lot, where people are starting to call it internet or technology Sabbath, where this has been going on for probably a decade or so, a little over a decade, where people acknowledge that they need to disconnect from technology, unplug, in order to focus on things that really matter. This is a term that we know that's for rest from the use of all technology with screens such as smartphones, computers, tablets, and television. An adaptation of the ritual of carving out one day per week to unwind, unplug, relax, reflect, get outdoors, and connect with loved ones. There's something called interruption science. And there's actually a lot of people that's what they do. They actually study how easily we're interrupted, how easily we're distracted. And a recent study shows that it takes us 25 minutes on average to recover our attention or our focus after a phone call. So but the bigger thing about that is we, on average today, many receive a phone call every 11 minutes, but it takes us 25 to recover from it, so we're never catching up. Wow. You know, in the 1950s, there was a sociologist actually had a study that showed that in the 1950s, Americans were actually busier, both at work and at home. They were busier than what we are today. We feel busier today, although they were busier back then. We have more time-saving devices today, but less time. We spend more time working on the calendar than doing what's on the calendar. Now, this distraction, and we already know the repercussions of being distracted and anything that's stepping us away from God. But there was a nurse, an Australian nurse, that wrote a book. She used to cater to a lot of elderly people, and she would be with them in their last days, for those fortunate that would make it to that age. And when she was with them with their last days, she wrote a book of the top 5 regrets that people had when it was their time to pass. And she realized that out of hundreds of people of years and years doing this, there was these top 5 that always came up. I want to point out to the top 2 because I feel that they are very important for what we're discussing today. Number 1, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. How many times do we do what others want us to do? How many times do we deny our religion, our beliefs, by simply remaining silent, not mentioning what we believe in, because we want to avoid conflict in some places? Also, we may be embarrassed. I don't want to be the only one to talk about that. You know, nobody else is talking about that. Or it's not cool. It's not popular in school. Most popular people in school, they don't really talk about that. So I don't want to be that person. We're denying ourselves. We're putting our principles to the side just to avoid conflict and just to be happy with someone, or try to avoid conflict with someone. Someone that I deeply care about, I had that situation. I was always trying to please that person. I was always trying to be patient, tolerant of things that were against my principles that particular person would always do. But it got to the point where I realized I had to sit down with myself and say, wow, I'm denying myself. I'm stepping away from my principles, from my beliefs, to please this person, and I can no longer do that. Number 2, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. There's not much to say about that. It's very logical. It's pretty logical that we work so hard today. We're working and working and working. And when time passes, we sit down and realize, did I forget the reason why I was working in the first place? I got all these things, but what is this doing for me? Am I in love with the world, like we mentioned in our scripture reading? Am I in love with the world, or am I actually preparing for eternity like I should? You know, I've always said that we need to stop focusing on the matters of life and focus on what matters in life. And we've been shifting for a very long time. Technology can help us grow closer to God with access to biblical material that we can access online, but it can also distract us from our relationship with God. We can contact anyone on earth today, but we have lost contact with ourselves, and most importantly, we have lost contact with God. We only have enough energy to take us to a certain level, but it's necessary to surround ourselves with other people who share our vision and our goals. People who see it possible for us to give us a home court advantage. That's why I mentioned that earlier, that we are the majority here. We need to surround ourselves that share that goal, that are trying to make it to eternity, to trying to make it to heaven. If we surround ourselves with people that don't believe in us, if you're surrounded by 5 other people that don't believe in the same thing you believe or don't respect what you believe, sooner or later you're going to doubt your own beliefs because of the people you have surrounded yourself with. I have a closing story. It's very brief sermon. It's a very important story that's an eye-opener for me. And I think that everyone should pay close attention to this story. Because it's definitely something that we can identify ourselves with today. Story is called Satan Called a Convention. Satan called a worldwide convention of demons. In his opening address, he said, "We can't keep Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. We can't keep them from forming an intimate relationship with their Savior. Once they gain that connection with Jesus, our power over them is broken. So let them go to their churches. Let them have their covered dish dinners, but steal their time so they don't have time to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to do. Distract them from gaining hold of their Savior and maintaining that vital connection throughout the day. How shall we do this?" asked the demons. "Keep them busy in the non-essentials of life and invent innumerable schemes to occupy their minds. Tempt them to spend, and borrow. Persuade the wives to go to work for long hours and the husbands to work 6-7 days a week. 10-12 hours a day so they can afford their empty lifestyles. Keep them from spending time with their children. As their families fragment, soon their homes will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds so that they cannot hear that still small voice. Entice them to play the radio whenever they drive, to keep the TV, phones, and computers going constantly in their home, and see to it that every store and restaurant in the world plays non-biblical music constantly. This will jam their minds and break that union with Christ. Fill the coffee tables with magazines and newspapers. Pound their minds with the news 24 hours a day. Invade their driving moments with billboards. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail. Mail order catalogs, sweepstakes, and every kind of newsletter and promotional offering. Free products, services, and false hopes. Give them Santa Claus to distract them from teaching their children the real meaning of Christmas. Give them an Easter bunny so they won't talk about his resurrection and power over sin and death. Even in their recreation, let them be excessive. Have them return from their recreation exhausted. Keep them too busy to go out in nature and reflect on God's creation. Send them to amusement parks, sporting events, plays, concerts, and movies instead. Keep them busy, busy, busy. And when they meet for spiritual fellowship, involve them in gossip and small talk so that they leave with troubled consciences. Crowd their lives with so many good causes, they have no time to seek power from Jesus. Soon, they will be working in their own strength, sacrificing their health and family for the good of the cause. It will work. It will work. It was quite a plan. The demons went eagerly to their assignments, causing Christians everywhere to get busier and more rushed, going here and there, having little time for their God or their families and friends, having no time to tell others about the power of Jesus to change lives. I guess the question is, has the devil been successful at his scheme? Brothers and sisters, you be the judge. Amen. And now we will have our closing hymn. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone.